Good evening and welcome into another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shopta at C70. With me as always, David Jones, iPop editor, and coming to you after the Cardinals have, for the fifth straight time this season, dropped the series finale of a series. Unfortunately, unlike some of those other series, they didn't win the first two games and just win the series outright. But David, the Cardinals come in at 7-9 and four games out of the NL Central lead. And that's exactly where they were this time last year. Isn't that great?
You told me we were going to be talking about the new Bluey episode tonight. I'm starting to think you did that just to get me on here so we could talk about baseball.
Given that I only have passing reference to know what Bluey is. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I will say it was more exciting than the week of baseball was, but it feels like Groundhog Day going back to last year. We thought things might be getting a little bit better after that LA series, but it just feels like we're seeing a lot of mediocrity at this point. And I know it's still early, but we can only say it's early for so long. And I say this not mad or angry or anything like that, but I think we're seeing exactly who this team is. I think really this is what a lot of people have predicted them to be, and I think they're showing us who they are. It's not terrible, but it's not great. It's just so-so, and I think we might have to live with that for the rest of the season. And I say that kind of gritting my teeth and not loving it, but I think this is who they are.
It very well may be. I'm kind of looking at last year's results, and you know they weren't great. Obviously, the only difference in the 2 years, if there is one, is to me, it feels like the pitching is slightly better, but the offense has just been terrible. And I mean, just going in the early going. I mean, I know for much of last year they had it. Very inconsistent offense as well, but it seemed like we weren't worried about things like that at this point in time last year. I don't think. Maybe I'm kind of blocked out 2023, which would only be fair, but we were worried more about the pitching rotation just completely imploding. And one or two bad innings here and there, the pitching staff has been okay. And there's some games that the Cardinals should have won if the offense had done much of anything, including perhaps today's game. So the stalwarts at the corners aren't hitting very much. The guys like Nolan Gorman, we thought would have a breakout year, haven't done that yet. Lars Nootbaar comes back, hits a home run in his first game, but you know it's still too early to tell what we're going to get there. What's your level of concern with the offense right now?
It's probably heightened from where it was at this point last year, because I think at this point last year, we were looking at the season and saying, well, we picked this team to win the Central. Everybody picked this team to win the Central. This is an anomaly. Things are going to get better. They can't continue playing this bad. And they didn't necessarily continue playing that bad, but they just played at a 500 level. Going into this season, I think we looked at them and thought, or a lot of people thought, this may be a 500 level team. And so we're seeing exactly what we thought. Two games under at this point, so far. And so this lineup just does not seem to be clicking. And I feel like we talked about this last year and we're talking about it again, but they just do not seem to be clicking. If one guy's on, the rest of the guys are off. They're not putting together complete games. Now, we're seeing some very great things out of Mason Winn. We're seeing some great things out of Herrera. But the guys that you're depending on, they are just not showing up when they need to. And it's not just that they're not coming through with like that monster home run, but it even comes down to things like they're not driving in the guy from third with less than two outs. Things that are very fundamental where it's just put the bat on the ball, get that guy home. It's not happening. And so, yeah, my concern level is pretty high right now. You could say, sure, this offense could be better when Dylan Carlson gets back and when Tommy Edman gets back, but I don't know if those guys are going to bring a lot more than they already have. And by the time they come back, somebody else may be hurt. So things just do not look good right now. I mean, even Jordan Walker, he's not really getting the ball in the air. We're seeing the same troubles that we saw early last season. I was thinking today, and we're still a little way from halfway through the season, but this seems like a very mediocre team. And if someone said, who is their all-star representative going to be? You're probably looking at like maybe a middle reliever, maybe a Helsley, but one of those guys that you're going to get just because the Cardinals need a representative. No one is really exceeding expectations this year, with the exception of Wynn and Herrera, but they're young. So that's why they're exceeding expectations. It is just the offense seems to be stalling or taking a step backwards, and I'm not sure what the fix is for it or when we're going to see a difference.
Yeah, I think Wynn would probably be your representative right now because, one, he is doing fairly well, too, because people would want to see his arm on a big stage and he's got some buzz around him. But, you know, that's after 2 weeks. You know, we'll see how things go as the season progresses. And we'll see how often he sits. That's one of the big things that people have been complaining about quite a bit is how often that Mason Wynn is getting a seat on the bench. Now, I did see somebody that put out, like, at this pace, Mason Wynn's going to play 122 games and Brandon Crawford's going to play 40, and that's probably a reasonable split. But in the early going, having a guy that one of your few guys that seems to be producing on the bench for a guy that produced about 3 years ago is frustrating, to say the least.
It is. And I read some comments from Ollie today, and I'm not sure. I had trouble deciphering them. It sounded like he talked to Wynn and they agreed that he needed a day off. I don't know if that's one of those things where Wynn was communicating that maybe he was tired, exhausted, a little beaten down. And if that's the case, that makes more sense. If it's more the manager telling him that he needs a day off, then I don't quite get that. I know the season is a long haul, but I think you could expect a little bit more from Wynn. I know for some of these guys being young, the season is such a grind and they're not used to this, how many games they play. But at the same time, these guys are young. They're in really great shape. Their bodies haven't broken down yet. They may have legs that some of the older guys don't have. And today was one of those games where the Cardinals had a perfect situation to score, bases loaded, and they had Brandon Crawford, who struck out. They had Ciani, who got out. Two guys who normally would not be in the lineup right there, and they couldn't capitalize on it. And we continue to see them leave runners stranded in scoring position. And it was one of those situations today where you just thought, I think Mason Wynn probably comes through here. Maybe with a base hit, maybe with a sacrifice, but the Cardinals are probably getting a run in that situation, but it didn't happen because he's not in the lineup.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know. I mean, you're right. I saw the comments of Ollie, but he sat on Wednesday. He had a day off Thursday. He'd only played, two games in the last 5 days. It seems very weird to think that he needed a day off there. And if he did, fine and dandy. But if you're just trying to look for him to get some rest to make sure he doesn't wear down, you've got 3 games in Oakland coming up, right? And I hate to say the Cardinals should go in there and have no problem with the A's, because we know what happens when you say that kind of stuff. But the A's are, well, this year they're a step ahead of a AAA team. Next year they won't even be that, because they'll be in a AAA stadium. It's difficult to think that, hey, you could probably let Brandon Crawford play against the A's versus let Mason Wynn play against the Diamondbacks. Again, we don't have any of the information that goes along with the conversation that they have or the stuff that's going behind there. But if they're getting so focused on making sure that everybody's rested for August, they've got to make sure that August actually means something, right? I mean, it's great to have a healthy Mason Wynn in August, but if you're 15 games out and you've just had another sell-off, so people, that's still not going to bring people to the ballpark as much as you may hope it would.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you could even take that and apply it to the pitching situation today when they pulled Miles Michaelis and put Pallante in there. Mm-hmm. That's one of those situations. Yes, it's early, but Michaelis didn't have it, and you needed a high leverage guy to come in there and get the out, because if you don't, the game's going to get out of reach. And sure enough, Pallante leaves the game and it's 5-0. So, or I guess the inning, he came back for another inning after that. But the games played today count just as much as the games played in August and on. So, yeah, it does get frustrating to see when you're kind of not sure why these moves are being made, why they are. And there could be things behind the scene that we don't know about. You know, you never know for sure if a guy wakes up literally on the wrong side of the bed and his neck is hurting, or maybe there's an ankle tweak or something like that that we don't really get here disclosed in the media. So there could be other things, but just from what we know, it does seem a little odd that when, and I'll even put Herrera in there too, why they're not playing a little bit more than they are. Contreras does not look right since getting hit. And it's almost looking like an IL stint may have been better for him, especially with the way that Herrera has been hitting. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those curious decisions why things are going the way they are.
Yeah, it's Pallante's an interesting one, isn't he? I mean, the Cardinals continue to bring him in situations that are high leverage. And it doesn't feel like, you know, he's not a high leverage guy. Now, I'm a little bit surprised. I pulled up his game log, and before today, he had inherited three runners, and none of them had scored. And that just doesn't feel right compared to what we've seen out Pallante. Now, granted, he's given up plenty of his own runs, but it is interesting that you would go to a guy like, again, who knows who's off alignments and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I don't know. If there are times where we'd say, well, they're punishing the panic button if you bring in Gallegos, I'd say, but they did that on Friday night and it didn't work out so well either. But you're bringing in some of these guys, it's like kind of like last year, right? It feels like there's not a move that Ollie can make that's going to work out. And whether that's because of the players or bad luck or whatever the case may be, it feels like even the right moves don't work out. I'm not saying Pallante was the right move, but even the right moves don't seem to be panning out. And that makes you kind of flashback to last year as well.
Yeah, I agree. And I think part of that has to do with the guys who are hurt in the bullpen. You don't have Middleton in there. You don't have O'Brien. And so you don't quite have the guys that you need. Thompson has not looked right. His fastball is not where you want it to be. Today, looking at the situation, I thought, and so I'm probably talking out of both sides of my mouth here, but I thought, you know, if you really need an out here, you probably go Kittredge if he's available to get this out. You know, they used Gallegos the other day in a situation like this, in a high leverage situation early in the game, and he gave up a home run that tied it.
Right.
So putting Pallante in there was confusing. But I do also understand that unless you're going with like Helsley and Kittredge at that point, you don't have many options to probably get that out.
Yeah. And if you're going to, especially Helsley, and probably even a Kittredge who should have been available today, he pitched in the game on Friday, but would have had a day off. If you're going to a Helsley, especially in the fifth inning, That's a panic move, right? I mean, not that it's not necessarily the right move, but people are going to look at that and say they're really worried about what this team is doing if they're bringing in their closer to put out, you know, a fire when you're already down a couple of runs.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that. that's one of those moves. I don't know. The analytics may say this is, yeah, you definitely should. It's one of those that you just can't do because of, in some ways, public perception. Which I know you don't want a guy to manage that way, but it just doesn't happen. So that's not going to happen. But yeah, I kind of thought Kittredge was the play there. Of course, I haven't looked in to see what the splits were to see if Pallante maybe throws a pitch or there's a certain advantage that he had against this guy, or maybe the guy was terrible against him or something like that. But he has just not looked himself. He had some appearances earlier in the year where things looked better for him, like things had really improved in the offseason, but I feel like we've seen a regression back to who he was at this point. And I think you kind of get a little nervous every time you see him come into the game now.
Yeah. Again, plenty of issues to poke at, but it really feels like you got to throw a lot of the blame there on Goldschmidt and Arenado, right? I mean, Nolan finally gets out of things, hits a home run on Friday. Goldie's still, both of them are still though, fairly much struggling. Goldie hit his home run on opening day. That's the last thing that we've seen out of him. perhaps the fact that they haven't extended him is going to turn out to be a good thing in baseball sense, even though it's not necessarily the best, you know, marketing or sentimental reasons. But you know, I don't, this team can't go anywhere without those guys. I mean, I think even if everything's clicking, you're still getting drugged down if those guys aren't producing like they can.
You're absolutely right. And I think if they're hitting like we know they can, even for the age that they're at right now, this team probably has two or three more wins because mm-hmm. they both have come up in some critical situations where they have just not looked good. If you mentioned this last week, if you're an average only person, Arenado's numbers look okay. Not great, but they look okay. But you look beyond that and it's just not good. On base percentage is really, really poor. He is not walking. Slugging is really down. And then Goldschmidt just seems to be struggling with everything. He had the RBI the other night where he basically threw the bat at the ball with one hand and powered it out to the outfield, which is great. That was one of those situations. They needed the bat on the ball to get the run home, and he did it. But he does not look like his normal self. And with those guys struggling, you are in big trouble. Gorman has hit some shots, but Gorman is not a guy who's going to hit for average. And so you could be putting three guys right there who all have the possibility of just striking out in an inning. Mm-hmm. Brendan Donovan looks okay, but right now he's getting on base and he needs help. You almost have to hope for the guys at the bottom of the lineup, like Wynn, to get on base and then Donovan to drive them in, because you almost feel like you're getting into a black hole when you get into your two, three, four, five, six guys, which should not be the case.
Yeah. But you're right. I mean, it is. I mean, you know, we'll see if Nootbaar helps that at all. Again, you know, he got two hits in his first game. I think he went 0 for the rest of the series. But that's, you know, I mean, you can't put a whole lot on Newt. And he's walked four times in this series, which is like, let me sort this real quick, but I think it's like third on the team. It's tied for fifth because Donovan and Goldie have seven and Contreras and Gorman have six, and he's already got four, which is as many as Jordan Walker has in 14 games, way more than Nolan Arenado does. You know, maybe that kind of play discipline will help you get some more guys on and let some of these guys do. But you're right. If your middle of your lineup is just, you know, striking out and not put, I agree with you on that. I was watched the, I had the game updates on my phone and I was doing other things and I glanced over and it was like, okay, there's a runner on first on third with one out. And the next thing I know it's, you know, innings over. And I'm like, you got to get those runs in. And I feel like maybe we can take the summer off and just replay last year's shows, because that's about where we're getting to.
Yeah, a little bit. You are getting more production out of the shortstop position, so that has been a little more entertaining to watch. But it does feel like that again. It's tough to watch. There have been some games that have been a lot of fun, but this team's not scoring a ton of runs. If they could go out and score 12 runs in a game, I think we'd all be really excited. But it's just not happening. And I'll say too, when you look at the starts that we've gotten from Michaelis, Matz, you get the one from Sonny Gray. It's only been one, but these guys are pitching about what you were hoping they would do. Yeah. They're not struggling. They are giving you about what's expected. Now, the other night, Kyle Gibson struggled. He gave up that 3-run home run, but he gave you six innings, gave up four runs. We knew when they signed him, there were going to be games like this, but you hope your offense is good enough to overcome that. If he gives you six innings and four runs and you're batting against a team, a pitcher that's not that great, you should still win that game or at least be competitive. And they weren't. And so the pitching staff is giving you about what we had hoped for. The offense just isn't there. And so what happens when the pitching starts struggling a little bit? What happens when the pitchers start giving up five or six runs a game? This offense isn't ready to actually overcome that. They can't overcome four runs right now, five runs right now, let alone if they start giving up seven, eight, or nine in the game. So this team's not ready to win a game 10-8. Right now they have to win a game 3-1, and that's putting a lot of pressure on the pitching staff and the bullpen.
Yeah, they have like four or five games in a row where they scored three runs. It was impressive. Also, any Kyle Gibson defense is not at all shaded by the fact that David will be interviewing Kyle Gibson this week, and we'll be playing that next week as part of the show. So, that doesn't factor in at all. But you're right. I mean, and again, I mean, I haven't read the story, but apparently somehow, even with PitchCom, the wrong pitch got called, and you know, but things happen. You're right. That's the kind of thing that the Cardinals should have already had two or three runs in the bank. And if that happens, then you have to come back from a one run deficit instead of like three. Just not there. And it is hard to imagine why it isn't. I mean, it's very funny that, you know, a lot of people spent a whole lot of time complaining about Jeff Albert, and the 2 years that he's been gone, the offense seems to have kind of stepped in a bucket. And it's hard to know how much of that is, tied to that, how much of that is coincidence, but it's still noteworthy.
It is. And is it Jeff Albert leaving? Is it the philosophy of the new coaches that have come in? Is it the system organization that's just completely off and what they're trying to do with hitters? Are they putting in a system that everybody hasn't grasped yet, and in 2 years from now, it's going to take off? I don't know, but it's just not clicking. And it's not clicking for the young guys. It's not clicking for the old guys. It's just not working right now. Now, of course, like we said, Mason Winn, Herrera, yes, but you're not seeing any power from really any of these guys outside of Gorman and Herrera. But the power has disappeared. And what's sad or scary, I guess, is that we saw this in spring and tried to not be alarmed by it. We kept saying, this is spring training. I think we were kind of saying that like apprehensively, like, it's spring, it really doesn't matter, but, you know, please show something. And they haven't. They really haven't. We're seeing a carryover from that. I don't know really what the solution is here or what's causing this, but they need to figure this out, not just for this year, but they need to figure this out long term, because this is an organizational issue if they don't figure it out. You know, Springfield is off to a tremendous start right now. They're still undefeated. But it seems like when a lot of these guys get to the majors, they just kind of stall out when they get to the Cardinals until they go to another team, and then somehow things take off. And I'm really tired of seeing that. And so they need to figure out what's going on here.
Yeah, this may become a Springfield Cardinals podcast at some point in time. that's right. But yeah, I mean, the Cardinals are tied right now for 25th in Major League Baseball with 13 home runs. They're tied with the Marlins, the Mariners, and the Nationals, just ahead of Detroit. And then the White Sox have a whole total of 8, which Tyler O'Neill's about to catch, I think, by himself. So, and it is, I mean, I think that's also, you mentioned, you know, players going other places. It's, nobody argued the idea that Tyler O'Neill needed to probably have a change of scenery, but seeing him flex his muscles, as it were, in Boston this early, and again, it's early. We'll see how long he stays on the field and all that kind of stuff. But seeing that when everybody else is flailing around is just another data point of has the judgment of the front office gotten to where it's a little bit shaky.
Yeah. And the O'Neill thing, I don't put in that category as much. For one thing, he's in a contract year. And so guys seem to play better. But at the same time, he could be doing this for the Cardinals, but he's a Boris agent, and so he's hitting the market anyway. So the Cardinals were only going to have him for this year if they were going to keep him. And it wasn't the fact that he never produced for the Cardinals. It's that he struggled to stay on the field. Right. And sometimes when he was on the field, he may not have always given 100%. So I don't – the O'Neill thing, I'm kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. Because for every Cardinal, ex-Cardinal who's doing wonderful things, there's probably 5 that are struggling to even make the majors. Mm-hmm. That one I'm okay with. But you do see it with these other guys. You know, it's especially tough when you see Zach Gallen doing amazing things, when you see Randy Arozarena, Dulles Garcia, the guys we've heard about time and time again, and you realize the pitching the Cardinals have given up or let go of, along with the outfielders. And then but it wouldn't hurt as much if the Cardinals' current roster was producing. And that's the biggest thing to me. You can stomach letting these guys go if your own guys are producing, and that's just not the case. But I think the way we all feel right now is you let any one of these outfielders go somewhere else, and they're going to become a superstar somewhere else.
Yeah. Seems like a good possibility. And it, you know, it also doesn't seem like the outfield is going to change much over the last, in the next future bit. We're still not hearing any updates on Gorman or on Edman. And so until further notice, even though Victor Scott is struggling and hasn't, I mean, he's hitting under 100 now. He's not been able to use his speed. People seem to be able to figure him out somewhat. It just doesn't seem like he's going anywhere, because unless they really feel comfortable with Newt doing center field, which is probably going to take a while, there's nobody else to play that. I mean, you can put Michael Ciani out there, but you still need a backup. And if you're going to have Victor Scott on this roster, Victor Scott might as well play.
Yeah. It's a tough position right now for what they're doing, because Victor Scott probably does need to be in Springfield, maybe Memphis. He needs to be getting those at bats at the level that he's comfortable with, because he's overmatched right now. But if the Cardinals are trying to win games, they just don't have many options right now. And yeah, seeing Ciani come to the plate with the bases loaded, I was like, this probably is not going well. I don't know if I would have felt much better with Victor Scott at the plate either. But like you said, if Newt can't play center field right now, you don't have any other options right now. So it's kind of where they're stuck. And it, again, the hole doesn't seem as glaring if the other guys are hitting, but they're not hitting. And so it just compounds the issue.
It is a problem for sure. So let's end this with at least somewhat of a good note. Okay. Sonny Gray did make his Cardinal debut this week at 5 scoreless innings. Got a double play to end the fifth right before he needed to be pulled out of the game. He goes to gets to face his old team in Oakland tomorrow. And so far, at least, it's been a breath of fresh air to watch Sonny Gray go out there and, you know, again, only 5 innings, but be the kind of pitcher that we thought the Cardinals were getting when they signed him.
Yes. Who would have thought that if when we were told that he could only go 65 pitches, that he'd end up getting a win against Wheeler? Like that just, yeah. My thought was he probably goes 3 and gets pulled in the fourth. If we're lucky, he completes 4. But I didn't think there was any chance of him going 5 and getting the win. So that's great. You hope he just continues this. You hope he feels good. I ate at one of his favorite restaurants this weekend. Called Toots in Smyrna. Just, you know, I don't know, trying to send good, I won't say good vibes, but good buffalo sauce and all that stuff towards him. Just seeing, you know, put some of that out there. It's fun to see him on the mound, and you see that competitive edge that he has where he wants to win. He wants to strike you out. He wants to make you look foolish out there. And I love seeing that. And it does give you hope, especially when you see how Mats is pitching, how Michaelis is pitching, how we've seen Gibson pitch. This offense, if they can start clicking, big if, but if they can, this team can win games with what the pitching staff's doing right now. But they got to score runs. They got to score more than 4 runs a game. I saw their one, they see the fewest pitches. They're like in the bottom 5 or 6 or something, and fewest pitches seen in the first inning, because they're just not putting guys on base. They're not getting many guys to the plate. And so they've got to find a way to get this offense going. If they don't, then I hold to my prediction that after this year's over, one of Ollie or Mo will be gone, possibly both, if something doesn't change.
Yeah. And hopefully it will. Again, it is, you know, we are informed by last year, and there's no doubt that the idea of it's early gets shortened up because of what we had to go through watching this team last year and the fact that it never turned around. You know, that being said, it is still early. I mean, we are, you know, if they had won one more game, they're at 500 at this point in time after a fairly tough schedule. Although they did also have a tough schedule at the beginning of last year as well. They have their flaws, but it's also very possible that everybody in this division has flaws and they're just getting it, maybe get theirs out of the way earlier. Who knows? Hopefully we're not still saying, we're trying to say it's early in 2 or 3 more weeks. Hopefully we're going to see them be able to start making a little bit of hay as they run into a few weaker opponents starting this week with Oakland. you know, I think that's all we can hope for, right? And we hope that that's just a little bit of a slump on everybody and not the systematic and permanent problems that we might be afraid there are there.
Yeah, you sure hope so. And the other thing that kind of skews things right now is that Milwaukee and Pittsburgh have been on a tear. If the Cardinals are in the East or the Cardinals are in the West, things look a lot better, and they look a whole lot better in the standings. I mean, they're sitting around second or third in those divisions, but Milwaukee and Pittsburgh have just been ridiculous right now. So they have to cool off. I think their roster shows that they have to cool off at some point. They're just playing above their level. You hope the Cardinals start playing above their level a little bit, and then they start inching up. So that does give me a little hope right there. But you look at it in the Central, run scored. The Cardinals are at the bottom with 61. The next up from that is 82. So the difference between the Cardinals at fifth and the Cubs at fourth is 82 to 61. That is really, really bad. And then on top of that, the Cardinals lead the Central in runs against. So yeah. That one is not a huge difference between the other teams, but it is huge for the run scored. This offense has to be better. If the offense is clicking on all cylinders, the Cardinals right now are probably only two games out of first place right now, but they are not clicking. And I don't know if they will. They have the potential to. They should be a lot better, but they also had that potential last year and we didn't see it.
Yep. So we'll have to find out. We'll have to wait and see. And again, you know, a little bit different schedule this week with Oakland, and then they come back home, and is it the Brewers already? I have to try to pull the schedule up and see, but I think it's the Brewers at the end of this week, which would be an interesting test, right? Yes, the Brewers are in Busch, and I think, you know, that gives us our first chance to see really if they can stack up against the NL Central, and if that goes the way this has been going, well, next Sunday may not be much better.
Yeah. They have a schedule coming up end of April and the beginning of May where they could put together a nice run, potentially. They've got some teams that are struggling, teams like them that are underperforming. And so the possibility is there to start taking some games, especially because they do have a lot of home games coming up. They just have to take advantage of it. They can't lose a series to these teams. You can't lose a series to the White Sox. You can't lose a series to Oakland on the road, even though it is on the road. They've got to take these, and they need to get some sweeps in there too.
Yeah. Yep. So hopefully that we'll see a better week. But whatever the case may be, we will be back at it next week to talk about it. So until then, for David, I'm Daniel. Good night.
The swing and a long fly ball to left by Ozzie.
He wouldn't, would he?
He did. Woo!